Oh, is this on? Sorry. I was just practicing my fast as lightning moves.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's Kung Fu Fighting Everybody by Carl Douglas. That actually is not the song that I meant to play for that break.
Carl Douglas.
Yeah. Boy, the song that I was going to play, really good. That's all right. We'll play it later.
Nope. Play it next.
Okay. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. If you are just joining us, our phone number is 727-498-0502. At the beginning of the show, we mentioned that we have been nominated by Creative Loafings, Best of the Bay, for the best... best local internet radio show.
Maybe they already think that.
Right. But anyway, and if you want to vote for us, and we'd be very happy if you did, that would make our day. You go to cltampa.com, and Stephanie, tell them what the category is and what to do next.
We are under people, places, and politics. Mm-hmm. And when you click that subheading,
right,
then underneath it lists all of the items under that, and we are the local internet radio show,
right,
listing.
Okay, very cool. And of course the name of our show is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Don't forget that.
Don't forget, yeah, vote for important. That one.
Am I gonna have to radio come up with like some show campaign strategy, like campaign speeches, some smear tactics and stuff like that?
They're not hard to write nowadays.
Who
terrific
am I going
fantastic
who am I going up against?
There are
everyone, the
there
world
are about a dozen, I think, radio shows. Some of them are actually podcasts, so I don't know why they're in our category.
You know, I've always wondered, what is the actual difference between a podcast and a show? We've had that conversation before, and you know, some people still call we call ourselves a show,
right?
We don't call it the Marco Radio Podcast. We call it the Marco Radio Show
because we do our show live.
What?
Because it flows.
It flows. Right. It does flow.
Marco Radio Show.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Marco
yeah,
Radio
that, that
Podcast.
Yeah.
What?
But the thing is,
sounds lame.
I mean, in my mind, a podcast is more often than not pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded and more of a production piece.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do our show live.
Obviously.
From 6 to 8 every Friday night.
Right.
Right here on RadioSaintPete.com. And, you know, there's no going back and editing. Whatever whatever happens, happens.
It happens, and that's the way it is.
So in my mind, that's a show.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't get up on stage to perform a play or something like that, and you know,
and then,
you don't get to edit that.
Right.
When you're out there, you're out there.
Exactly.
Just kind of like what we are.
And to me, that's part of the the way I see the difference between a podcast and a show.
Right.
A podcast is more like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where they film all the pieces and they do all their editing and they produce it.
Right.
And then present it to the audience.
Yeah.
Versus a show, which is like doing a play.
Right.
You go out on stage and you do it live right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
If you fall down or whatever, the show must go on. You know, they don't stop the play if somebody falls and...
Well, a very good example,
you know,
is
their arm,
when we came
out
of that break
for 2 weeks.
The mics caught me practicing my karate.
Right.
My karate.
Or something.
Caught me right in the middle of a ha!
Did you scare yourself there?
No, I got a little sweaty though.
Well, the air conditioner is working.
Yeah, it is, but
there's
look,
no...
Honey, when you're working those moves, fast as lightning, mm-hmm, some of the kicks...
It's a little bit frightening.
Stuff.
It is a little bit frightening.
That's what they say in the song.
Right.
That's why I said it. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Hey.
Tygen, did you see the top 10 list, the top 10 best American metal bands list that came out?
I did not.
You ever heard of a website called Loudwire?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, they came out with a top 10 American metal bands of all time. You want to guess? Who would be number 10? I mean, 10 being worst, 1 being the best. If you had
The worst, but the...
Well, I mean, if you're in the top 10, you're not the worst, but...
Right.
The least best.
All right, so 10 being the worst?
Least best.
Least best. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The 10th.
10th.
Overall.
Well, who's number one?
No. I'm not going to tell you that.
All right.
Just start guessing a bunch of them.
All right. So, job for a cowboy?
Not on the list.
Black Dahlia murder?
Not on the list.
Wow. I've been out of the loop for a while. Lamb of God?
Yes. Number 10.
Number 10? Ah, really? Nice.
Number 10.
Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Slipknot would be number 8.
Okay. Huh.
Okay. Who's number 9? In between Slipknot at 8 and number 10, Lamb of God.
Disturbed?
Disturbed.
Nope. Not on the list.
Let me think. Pantera?
Pantera is on the list, but they are number 3.
Oh, wow. Look at Pantera.
Mm-hmm. Pretty influential.
Yeah.
Well, then Metallica.
Metallica is, ding, 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 number 1.
Number 1.
Ah, really?
All right, so if Pantera is 3 and Metallica is 1, who's number 2?
Is that Slayer?
Yes!
Nice.
You're the man. All right, so the list from worst to first would be Lamb of God, Death is number 9. That's what I was looking for. Slipknot at number 8, Anthrax at 7, Tool. Number 6.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Tool, but I don't know.
System
about
of
that.
A Down is 5.
Oh, I love I System agree with of a Down.
Okay. I'll give
Megadeth is 4th. Pantera 3rd. Slayer 2nd. And Metallica number 1.
I feel like Death should be 4 because a lot of these guys wouldn't be doing this without Death.
Okay, so what I've done, and now you are in a death metal band now.
Yes.
And it's called Indecent. Proposal. Deceptive Intruder. And I pulled the top 3 of America's best metal bands.
Uh-huh.
I have those. And then I have 3 of your songs. And as I was listening to them earlier, I thought that there were 2 songs here that actually were very close. So I'm going to play Silent Scream from
Slayer.
I'm going to play a little bit of that. And then I'll play the song that your band does.
All right.
And compare it. All right, here's a Silent Scream from Slayer. Very musically tight.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like they've done it before.
They know what's up.
Probably not doing this in a garage. Get to the singing. In about 5 minutes. The prosecution of child's dream of death. Torment. You forgotten a soul that will never rest. Okay. Alright, so that is Silent Scream from Slayer. Alright, now, as I was pulling these songs the other day, and I was comparing, this is the song from your band, Silent Intruder.
No, Deceptive.
Deceptive Intruder.
Come on, turd pants.
I think Dad wants a tattoo.
I'm going to have to get that tattooed over my forearm.
Deceptive Intruder.
It's Intruder I have. It's the Deceptive that throws me off every time.
Because
anyway,
it's sneaky. It's
this deceptive. Is a song from Deceptive Intruder called Caged Hell. And I think that this one's very similar.
No.
Also very tight. Seems like you've done it before. Listen to that singer. Who's that guy?
I like this singer better.
Was that cussing?
A little bit.
It's a family show.
Right.
Well, you're the one playing metal.
All right, so that's Caged Hell by Deceptive Intruder.
There you go.
Nice.
Contraceptive.
Contraceptive. Oh my God, change it right now.
Might have to call some people.
Call them up.
Anyway, Ty, let me tell you something. You know that this is not really my brand of music. I can remember all those guitar lessons that you took. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of music you wanted to play that used to just bug the hell out of me. Because there's so much great rock and roll out there. But Ty, all he wanted to do was play that fast-paced,
heavy death metal.
And, you know, back then, I never heard any of that Cokie Puss stuff until now. And now all of a sudden, you're the singer of this band. And I have to say, I'm proud of you. Because even though it's not my cup of tea, I know that that's what it's supposed to sound like.
Well,
and I think it sounds very good.
Well, thank you.
So if you're listening, everybody, Contraceptive Intruder. Deceptive Intruder. They're still in the practicing stages, but I'm sure they're going to be out soon.
I think probably by Halloween.
Nice.
Sweet.
Nice.
Any potential venues?
We're looking at, maybe State Theater.
Nice. Right here in downtown St. Pete.
I'm trying to think what the other one was, the Brass Mug or whatever it is.
All right. Well, look, do me a favor and don't make it too late. Because I have a real hard time staying up past 8:30.
Could you have a Saturday afternoon tea show for us?
Death metal matinee.
Right. One of the other things that I wanted to mention, and Mom and I talked about this, is that, before we went to New Orleans, we knew that we weren't going to be able to do our show, our regular two-hour live show, because we were going to be in New Orleans. So what Mom and I did is we talked to Joe B., the head honcho over here at RadioSaintPete.com, and asked him if we could put together an hour show pre-recorded of the music that we were going to hear at the Jazz Fest. And he said, absolutely. So now what I'm thinking is, you know a lot about this heavy metal, death metal.
Yes,
I
do.
And you're in a band now. I'm thinking about calling Joe B. and asking him if he's got a spot anywhere during, all the time slots. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night. You know, that's when all you vampires hang out, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the people that listen to that kind of music. So if we had one, I don't care if it was 1 o'clock in the morning, from 1 to 2 or 12 to 1 or 2 to 3 or
We should try to get some local bands in on this.
And we, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bloodbath and Beyond.
And we could record interviews with them and stuff like that. And it'll be like the metal moment or the metal minute. Oh, it won't be a minute. It'll be like
keeping it heavy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. On the down low.
Why would you call it a moment?
I don't know.
Moment. What's a moment?
A senior moment?
Is a moment like how long is a moment?
A moment.
Is it like
in
a
time.
Minute?
Just a moment, please.
Did
someone mispronounce minute once and it just stuck?
It stuck.
I'll be there in a moment.
In a moment.
A what?
Give me a moment. I've only been in here for a moment. Anyway, before the break, I said we were going to talk about lightning. And this is the time of year where we start getting a lot of lightning. And as you know, Florida is the lightning capital of the world.
So we're not talking hockey.
We're not talking about hockey, although that is the name of our local fantastic hockey team.
It is?
Tampa Bay Lightning. Yep. Let's see. Two teenagers just this week were struck by lightning. One 15-year-old Cameron Poimbuff. And 18-year-old Jansen Tabor, they were walking along. They were walking along the beach up in Sand Key in front.
Hit
of
them
the,
so hard it messed their names up.
Yeah,
they were walking up there in front of the Lighthouse Towers condos,
trying to catch Pokemon.
Well, they probably were. They probably were.
They ran into Zapdos.
Well,
and,
all
well,
of a sudden, a storm blew in, just like yesterday. A storm blew in, and they started to run for cover. And
That's a good song.
What, Run for Cover?
Run for Cover.
And got zapped.
Yes.
Yep. The, let's see, who was hurt? They were both hurt.
Who was hurt?
Both of them.
Well, they both went to Tampa General Hospital.
They got hit by lightning.
The 15-year-old was in critical condition, and the 18-year-old was in fair to good condition.
Walk it off.
They have both since... been released from the hospital. So that's a
good
thing. Both these kids are from North Carolina. I know they can't wait to get back to there and get out of this hell-forsaken lightning capital of the world. But, it's just amazing. And you had mentioned that there was a third person who got struck by lightning, but I could not find anything about that.
Yesterday.
Right.
Yesterday it happened when the big storm came through.
I didn't see anything in the paper or anything.
Did they live? As far as I know, yes, they did.
All they need to know.
Yes. But it's dangerous, and a lot of visitors from out of town, you know, it's not any different here, except for that it's maybe more dangerous.
Yeah.
But it amazes me.
No different, just more danger.
Just more danger. Like yesterday when those storms blew up, I had a bunch of people out at my swimming pool, and you could hear the thunder.
Yeah.
And the sky was turning black.
That's a good song, too.
And they all just stayed in the pool, and the thunder would clap, and they'd look up and go, oh, well, it looks like something might be coming. And I'm like, get out, you know?
Usually when I hear thunder and I see lightning, my first reaction is... Okay.
You're a manly man, aren't you?
Here's some things to know about lightning strikes. I have a little bit of a list here.
Oh, good.
Do tell.
You guys may want to pay attention.
Don't wear metal hats. No.
I don't know what exactly is on Dad's list, but my hint is it may help you later.
Yes, so pay attention. Oh. The first one says, as soon as you hear thunder, you should look for shelter and then... It doesn't say that. Leave that part out. Says you're more likely to get struck at a beach because it's an open space with no or few buildings to attract the lightning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lightning bolt's current, pathway and voltage, as well as its duration of contact with a person and the resistance of a person's tissue, determine on the severity of the injury. Or the weight of the victim, I would think.
Yeah, the density of the victim.
Mm-hmm. It says lightning can jump from one person to another or from an object to a person.
Whoa.
So I would bet that these two boys that got struck, I bet it hit one of them and it bounced over to the other one.
Shot off to the next one.
They hadn't have been making out by the lighthouse.
Stop. Mm-hmm.
It says ground current... when lightning hits the ground and then travels up a person's leg, causes 50 to 55% of lightning deaths. What? So that's a pretty likely one.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
There's one that's called side splash lightning strikes. No. It's when lightning jumps from an object to a person, and that causes 30 to 35% of deaths. Mm-hmm. So those are the only things that I have here. Basically, what they're saying is, if you see lightning, take cover.
Yeah, go inside and please get out of the swimming pool.
Have you ever been really close to a lightning strike?
Yes.
I was one time in Alexandria, Virginia, and this is when Grandpa Ron had that insurance agency right there off Duke Street.
Right.
So it was toward the end of the day, and I believe it was like, I don't know, late July, early August, something like that. The storm blew through, and it was so intense that four or five of us went to the front door of the building and had the door open, and we were just watching it because it was like, can you believe this? I mean, just an hour ago, it was sunny and hot and da-da-da-da, right. And now it's like Armageddon, you know?
Right.
So we're watching, and there was thunder, and we could see some lightning, but nothing seemed like it was close. Then all of a sudden, there was this crack of lightning that was so close to us. I mean, literally, right. I mean, if you went down to the end of the building, just right around the corner, there was that church next door.
Right.
In their parking lot was this huge old oak tree right at the corner, you know, right next to the church parking lot and Dad's parking lot. It hit that oak tree. When it hit it, it sounded like a bomb went off.
Absolutely.
All four of us hit the deck instinctively, hit the deck, and then all of a sudden you could hear all this stuff sort of raining through the parking lot, and when we looked up, it was all these big chunks of bark and wood and stuff like that.
The tree
exploded.
Right.
It was unbelievable. That's the closest I've ever been, and it scared the crap out of me. at about that same time, that same summer, they had just finished the National Cathedral downtown, Washington, D.C., and they were having tours of the cathedral, and there was a, I think they were Japanese tour, and they were out in like on the grounds, and a storm blew up, and they decided that they were going to go under a tree.
Oh, no, for cover.
Right, and it hit the tree, and it killed like three or four of them.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway. It's dangerous. No, it's, you got to pick your shelter carefully, too.
Right.
I got something hanging out of my nose. Driving me crazy.
Nobody can see it, honey. We're on the radio. Little graphic.
I just want to let you know it's driving me crazy.
May affect the show.
Right.
Anyway, let's see. I wrote here Gator Boy, but that's really not the way to say this. This is about the little boy that last month at Disney World was snatched off the bank of a Disney World beach.
He's always so sensitive.
Yeah, well, anyway, he was snatched off and basically...
Killed.
Killed, right. What a horrific thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this week, the family decided that they were not going to sue Disney. So I can only imagine, and I've heard speculation throughout the week on different radio shows, that Disney, with the fact that they had improper signage and the fact that their firemen were feeding the gators,
right.
They probably said, let's shut this thing up.
Let's talk.
I heard they offered the family $100 million.
That'd help.
That would help. Is $100 million enough?
Never. I mean, there's not enough money to replace a child.
First of all, the father is standing ankle deep with this little two-year-old when this happened. The father wrestled the alligator and failed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what he's going to think the rest of his life?
Yeah.
Talk about PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, how was I not able to save him? You know, how do you...
Well, he'll have lots of time while he's golfing to think about it.
These people have like five kids. How do you then leave Disney without one?
Right.
I mean, very traumatic for all of them.
For all of them.
Yeah. I mean, they're looking at years, I would think, of...
the rest of their lives.
Emotional scarring. And
this will affect them.
That kind of thing. $100 million.
Well, and... What's the point of a lawsuit?
Well, that would just drag things out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then
and prolong
they're going to have to relive that every day of the trial.
Right.
And these days, there's no such thing as a speedy trial anymore. No. It's going to go on for years and years and years.
It's going to
get so bad because, you know, I mean, whenever you're in a trial, as bad as Disney feels about this whole thing happening, they're still going to try to protect themselves.
Exactly.
So then they're going to have to get ugly. And it's like, is that really what you want to happen?
No.
I think Disney did the right thing in this case by, you know, offering these people this money. And I think they did the right thing by accepting the money and just getting on with your life.
And moving on. Mm-hmm. Because no amount of money is going to bring their child back.
Not ever.
And no amount of fighting in court or... any of the other horrible things that go along with a lawsuit is going to help.
Yep. I don't know. Steph, how much would you want if it happened to Ty? Would $100 million do it?
Make it five.
Can we take less?
No. What?
He's old now.
What about Hannah?
I could probably wrestle a gator now.
Now that she's got her big girl car and her promotion and all that, she's probably worth a lot more money now.
Yeah. Right.
Hollywood kid.
They'd come with that $100 million for Hannah and be like, oh, you better think again.
Yeah.
That number up.
And she's got the Howie's connection. Come on.
Right. Come on.
She's hooked up every which way.
Right. So.
No, but it's what a terrible event. And it is good that they are all, I guess, putting it behind them and moving on.
Well, you have to.
You have to, rather than...
You don't really have a choice.
Fight about it.
Yep. Let's see. I think I do want to take another break because I need...
Okay.
little something.
You're good.
So I will go back
that
and,
other song.
I will. I'll go back and play. You're not going to like it, but
no. I play one of the ones I will like.
Well,
is there one?
Yeah,
we played your music.
You played it for like 2 seconds.
Look, we're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSyncPete.com. We will be right back. Okay, everybody, we are back, and again, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. That obviously was Chicago with 25 or 6 to go. I saw on Sunday morning, usually with Charles
Osgood.
I love that show every Sunday morning. We get it here from 9 to 10:30
yes.
every Sunday morning. I love that. They have all kinds of good stories.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, they did a story on Chicago basically saying that this is their 50th year, and they had on the show three of the original members. They're still touring, but a lot of the performers are not the original ones.
Yeah. Right.
But you can still go out and see Chicago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's cool. I was never, it's funny, when I was a kid, always into like rock and roll, and I was like, yeah, but they play horns.
Oh, I always liked I Chicago.
Yeah, I got wrong. I wasn't into it because they played horns.
You're weird.
They were band kids.
But now, you know,
non-ska music.
My dad has turned me into, you know, turned me on to all of this like New Orleans type blues jazz stuff, and there's horns and all that.
Right.
You know, horns and squeeze boxes and
I keep trying to show you Streetlight.
Streetlight. Streetlight, is that a game that the kids play in the neighborhood?
No.
We used to play Kick the Can.
Streetlight Manifesto?
Oh, Streetlight Manifesto. Oh, I still got this nose hair.
Unbelievable.
I just trimmed
nose hair?
Yeah, I just trimmed them the other day, too, because I was having a real issue the other day. And then I trimmed them, and for whatever reason, I got a rogue one. No, don't. You're not sticking those scissors up my nose.
No, get it.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Hold still.
Yeah. One thing, Stephanie, remind me to put a new battery in my nose hair trimmer.
Okie dokie.
Because it runs a little slow, and when it runs slow, it doesn't just cut the hairs, it yanks them.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, no.
That's what you need.
Pulls them all out, then three more grow back in crazily.
Yeah. So let's turn to politics, and this is something that we don't talk a lot about here on the show.
Oh, it's about to get colorful.
But, I mean, we're so close. I mean, November's right around the corner, and things are heating up. We now have our candidates pretty much locked in.
If you want to call them that.
Trump and Clinton, and I guess the independent is that guy, Gary Johnson, who now all of a sudden has come out of the woodwork. I haven't even heard about him until...
I feel like he's going to get a lot more votes than he thought he would.
Yeah, probably. And it's interesting that you say that, Ty, because this is... and I don't know anybody that won't admit this or concur. This is a very strange election year because...
this one's a joke.
Well, it is kind of a joke. I mean, a lot of people are very opposed to Hillary Clinton, and a lot of people are very opposed to Donald Trump. For obvious reasons on both sides.
Right.
And neither one of them seem to try to hide it. It's almost like they're proud of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you run into people that are diehard either one. And then No, I can't even either. And then you run into people that are like, I really don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think there's going to be a lot of people
I'm trying to
this
move
election
to
that aren't going to vote.
Well, I want to see, I'm waiting for the presidential debates, because I think those are going to be...
I think you're
going to
be knocked down, drag out, ugly.
Well, right. The campaign ads have started. Have you seen any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Some of those are nasty.
But
they're really nasty this time.
Yeah. They're above the board.
Right.
If you would...
If I was Donald Trump, I don't know if I'd mess with that girl.
Oh, I wouldn't.
She looks like a mean, evil thing.
Bill
knows.
Everything he dishes out, he better be ready to take
it. She looks like the worst junior high school principal. She would do evil things to you, like that she wasn't supposed to do, like lock you in the basement and make you eat chalkboard erasers or something.
The whole eraser.
No, she is does not come across as a pleasant woman
when she is
unhappy.
Rigid and mean, and Donald
is just mean.
I've tried.
Mean and dumb.
What is it with everybody saying, well, he says what everybody wants to say?
No, he doesn't.
I don't think he says anything.
I think he's great.
It's wonderful.
Anytime I've ever listened to him speak, it's like I get so frustrated because it's like,
what did he say?
What did you just say? You didn't say anything.
Terrific. Wonderful.
Everything's terrific. Wonderful. It's going to be super.
It's huge.
I'm so good at this. And da-da-da-da. It's like, well,
Best in the world.
Right. I'm going to be so good at this. You're going to be so happy. It's going to be fantastic. What is?
I talk to myself all the time because I have a great brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, once he became the presumptive candidate, pretty much all of the rest of the Republican Party, if you're an adult, you're really supposed to, you know, go, well, you know what? He apparently is the best man, and I'm still part of the Republican Party, and I'm supposed to
back my candidate
and play along. Well, That didn't happen this week when Ted Cruz got up to speak.
Right.
Everybody thought that he was going to give his endorsement, and he never did.
Right.
And toward the end of the speech, people started realizing that he wasn't going to endorse him and Trump. And the people started getting agitated, and they started chanting and telling him to, you know, get off the stage. And, you know, they basically ran him out of there.
Right.
Then what I heard a day or two later is that Trump, and I think this is fantastic.
Wonderful. It's superb.
Fantastic. It's the greatest thing. I heard that Trump, 2 hours prior to Ted Cruz's speech, got to read the speech. And I can only imagine Trump, the businessman that he is, and whether you like him or not, you can't say that he's a dumb man. You don't get to be in his shoes if you're a dumb man. And he's a very good businessman. So I'm thinking that he read the speech. He doesn't like Cruz anyway.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, this will be fine.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to give you just enough fantastic rope to hang yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think he knew that if he got up there and didn't give the endorsement, the people were going to go crazy. And they did.
Right.
So I really,
and he didn't
as bad
force
as a lot
him.
Of people thought, I think it was a victory for Trump.
He, you know, Trump, because he got to read the speech ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, Trump's people could have gone back to Cruz's people and said, hey, you know, you need to tighten this up,
right,
or we're not going to let you take the stage.
Or he could have said, where's the endorsement?
Right. I mean, he could have bullied him into mm-hmm. saying what Trump wanted him to say.
I think he doesn't like Cruz. I think he thought, you know what? I'm going
to
let you show the rest of the Republican Party and America just exactly why you're not the candidate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it did actually turn out in Donald Trump's favor.
I heard that Cruz and his wife had to be escorted out of the stadium, out of the arena. I mean,
wow.
People were
because
that
people
incensed.
Were that angry.
Well, because yeah. Trump fans are insane.
Cruz is from Texas. And even Texas Republicans are upset about it.
Right.
You know, look, it's so petty. It's so childish. Look, I lost. I'm still a part of the party.
Right.
You know, you still want your party to prosper and do good. You know, I mean, you're going to have to deal with it. And if you lost, well, then maybe you can be an advisor.
Right. And maybe you need to, I mean, he's
maybe
young.
Maybe you could go to Trump and say, you know what? You got to admit I had some pretty good ideas. What about this? You
right.
Know? But
and
now,
and
if
step
I'm Trump,
up your
I'm like,
game
you're
and
a jerk.
Well,
you're
and
a fantastic jerk.
And now the rest of the
you're
Republican Party knows that as well.
You're not
and
super.
I don't know that he'll ever get a chance.
I don't think so either.
He's not
going to
recover
again.
From that.
No. No, he's not going to be able to recover
he's
from gonna that.
He's going to be selling shoes next week.
In
Four
Trump
shops.
Tower.
Yeah.
In Trump Tower. He's going to be a shine boy.
Get your shine box.
Get your shine box.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, then one of the other things that happened this week was Trump's wife, Melania, gave a speech. And,
is that really her name?
Melania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Melania.
Have you ever seen her?
No.
My God, dude. She is drop-dead gorgeous. Truly. One of
I
the
don't
prettiest.
Know. I don't like her face.
One of the prettiest women I've ever seen.
Well, that's
seen.
Kind of important.
Yeah.
She is beautiful.
She has a Caitlyn
Truly.
Jenner face-ish.
Oh. No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
I gotcha.
Caitlyn Jenner has a big man face with
yeah,
makeup.
Yeah, that's
on.
What I'm saying.
No, she doesn't. Beautiful.
You smelled yeah. what I was stepping in.
She gave this speech that was, you know, if. Anybody would have thought it was a very good speech, but of course there are people out there that are like, hey, wait a minute.
Wait.
That sounds awfully familiar.
Right.
So apparently there were some of the lines that she used that were almost identical to the speech that Michelle Obama gave back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the radio this week, and a lot of times what they would do, these radio shows with a lot more technology than our show, they would play both of the speeches side by side, and it was almost word for word in some places of the speech.
Wow.
Then I heard somebody say, well, that's not so uncommon. First lady's speeches are generally pretty the same.
Right. They're very general. Mm-hmm. They're very, they're not there to actually make a point.
Right. It's just basically saying what a good guy my husband is, and we're a team, and we work together, and da-da-da-da-da, and we're going to keep the house clean, and that kind of thing.
Right.
When we move out, you won't have to, you know, paint the walls or nothing.
We'll stay within budget.
We'll get our security deposit back.
Yeah. It's got to be a big one on the White House.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah. We won't do it. It'll be fine. It's going to be super. It's going to be fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then later in the week, I also heard that the speechwriter came forward, and she admitted she came to Trump, to the Donald, with the resignation papers, basically saying, look.
They got me.
I'm going to resign. And he said, absolutely not. You're not going to resign. He said it was a mistake. She has helped him write a couple of different books. And he's known this woman for a long time. And he said, no, absolutely. Look, I'm going to chalk it up as a mistake. And, you know, if you do it again, we're going to lop your fantastic head off.
You'll be fired.
It was a mistake to copy an entire play.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Here's something that I thought was really kind of cool. And I thought it got me to thinking. Because I have not, here I am 52 years old, but I have not been voting very long. I think the first time I voted was when Gore ran. That was the very first time I ever voted for a president.
I remember that.
Right.
I remember
that. So I was not aware of what different races vote for. So I saw a picture in the
Hold
paper.
On now.
What?
Let's clarify that. What are you talking about?
Okay, let's say, for instance, do white people generally vote Republican or Democrat? Black people generally vote Republican or Democrat? That kind of thing. So I saw this picture, and I'm going to show it to all of you. That's not good for radio, but I'm going to show it to all of you. And this is kind of a Where's Waldo kind of thing. It's a picture from the RNC. And this is a section of the crowd. And this picture probably shows 250, maybe 300 people. Ty, if you can find a black face in that crowd, I'll give you $50.
Oh, let me see.
They're not going to be in there.
I'm let me see you. It.
Bunch of there old white people.
There is not one black person in that picture. And so then it got me to wonder. So I went on Google, and I was like, well.
I got one.
No, you don't. Let me see it.
Get it.
Where?
Get your glasses.
Hold on. That is not.
There.
Hold on.
Token.
One in 200.
No, that's not.
Yeah, it is.
That's not. That's an old Jewish man.
No, hair. It's not.
He has a suntan.
Shut it. You're not getting $50 from me. You were always good at that. Where's Waldo?
Yeah, right. Don't ask
I looked
Ty,
at that picture for
it.
20 minutes.
Hey, legally, they have to have one non-white person.
Yeah.
Or they're all racist.
Anyway, so I went on the Google box, and I looked up how do African Americans vote generally?
They don't.
Yes, they do. And it says what I found out is African Americans have a history in both major political parties of the United States. After the Civil War, almost all blacks considered themselves Republicans.
Right.
It was the Republican Party that was started by abolitionists, and of course, the party of President Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
He was a Republican.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay. Meanwhile, Southern Democrats strongly opposed any rights to blacks at the time, and for almost a century thereafter, African Americans were not even allowed to attend the Democratic Convention until 1924. Then, it says, in 2012, African Americans voted Democratic 76% of the time. They voted Republican 16% of the time, and other or independent 8% of the time. So that might explain why we found one black face in a sea of 300 honkies.
Yeah. Old.
Mm-hmm.
Probably anyway. Well off.
Old and well off. Right. Anyway, I learned something. I hope you guys learned something too.
Right. Well, they had
I didn't know that.
They had Paul Ryan had a picture of himself with the interns.
Right.
And then a few days later.
I have that picture as well. I can pass that around.
A few days.
Also not good for radio, but.
A few days later.
Here's Paul Ryan with the interns and not a black face in the house.
But a few days later, the Democratic House, as a payback or whatever, they also took a selfie with all of their interns. And
they were all black.
A more well-diversed crowd as far as not only color, but gender.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it was truly more of a mixed crowd.
Right. So, let's see. Let's go to guns. And guns are a hot topic.
Guns
all over the world, basically, because now all of a sudden it seems like we've got some sort of mass shooting on a weekly basis, and sometimes more than one a week.
Yeah,
guns. I've said it before. I'm not against guns, but I am against assholes with guns.
Well, that seems to be most of them.
Guns are very dangerous, especially if you're not responsible. Where are you going?
I need to go check this message.
Okay. All right. Beat it.
All right.
Anyway, so I did some checking. I saw this article, and this is what got me to thinking about this. There's an article, because of all of the terroristic type attacks that we've been having, you know, multiple people getting sprayed down by guns and things like that, more and more people are going out and buying guns, and more people are now taking these classes to learn what to do in case you are someplace like a mall or an airport or a movie theater, that kind of thing. They want you now, they're going to try to train you to be your own first responder. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know if
I'm not like happy about a bunch of people carrying guns. And what got me to thinking about this is that there's a picture of this class. There's a lot of people in this class.
Oh, yeah.
There's like 95 people in this class. So that means there's 95 people that are carrying guns.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least.
Just from that one class.
Right.
So when you start thinking about those numbers, that leads you to believe that there are guns everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have a gun.
How long is the class?
I don't carry a gun. It's just like over a weekend.
See, I don't like that.
In 2 days, can you learn how to, you know,
well, and like if
do
if
all these tactical maneuvers to be your own
really
first responder?
If something really breaks out in a mall.
Right.
Everybody's just going to start shooting.
And then bullets are flying everywhere.
Yeah. Just
how many
like
innocent
collateral
people are
going to
get shot?
It's a terrible idea.
I think so, too. I agree. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. But here's this class, and what's the class called? Something Cobra Defense or whatever it is.
Because they got to make it sound cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But, I mean, here's in this class, it's a class that they would have like at the YMCA or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the picture of this class, mostly women, and most of them have their children with them.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, every single one of these women has a child by them.
Wow.
I don't like that.
I'd feel differently if it was like a police baton.
I made it 52 years of my life without owning a gun. And 52 years of my life without either one of my parents ever owning a gun.
Yeah.
We never had a gun in the house. I mean, times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Things are crazy out there. But I don't think putting more guns on the street and calling somebody now a self-responder because they went to a weekend class, I don't think that's the right idea.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
See, police baton. If everybody had a police baton, I'd be okay with that.
What about just some pepper spray?
Well, you don't want to just be shooting that off either.
Mm-hmm. I went up because I started getting interested to see. I was kind of trying to find out how many guns are out there, and I couldn't find out how many guns there were in the United States. But what I did find out is that Florida has the most concealed weapon permits in the nation.
Yep,
Florida, more than double of the second state, which is Texas. We have more than double the amount of concealed weapons permits here in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Texas was raised on guns.
Right.
They are made of guns.
Mm-hmm. One of the things it says, Florida has 1,384,756 concealed weapon permits, permit holders as of March 2015. High numbers, but Florida is now the third most populated state in the nation. So, I mean, we're the third most populated state in the nation, and we're the number one state in the nation as far as concealed permits.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of rednecks who think they're Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm. Texas came in second with just over 708,000 concealed permits. I think that's bizarre that we're ahead of
See, I'm not a fan of the concealed permit. Like, I think if you're going to carry the gun,
mm-hmm.
make it visible.
Well, see, I don't like that either.
Well,
I don't like that either.
That's not better, but,
well, that's part of the whole RNC. It's being held in Cleveland. Ohio is an open carry state.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard this thing that said, okay, at the RNC, you can't carry a can of tennis balls in there. You can't carry a can of tuna fish in there. But you could carry your AR-15 if it was holstered to your chest.
Mm.
Does that make any sense to you?
No.
No.
Do you want to go to the grocery store and see, you know, with your kids and see people walking up and down the aisles with guns?
No.
No, but at the same time,
I don't want my kids to see guns.
I don't want some guy giving me trouble. And then, you know, if we have to talk about it, I don't want him to just start pulling out guns from nowhere. I want to know, like, immediately that he has one.
Well, I think pretty much these days you can almost count on a gun coming out in any kind of an altercation. And that's scary to me.
Yeah.
I've always said that I don't know that I will ever have one. I've started to rethink that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes down to it, I don't want to be the only one without one.
I'm really considering getting one.
Yeah. Well, I don't want you to do that. And in fact, you're grounded for thinking about it. I don't
want
you to have one.
Well, it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, and here's an example. Here in Florida, two neighbors in a trailer park.
Of course.
And this is a retirement trailer park. Not like what's down in, you know, P Park down there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nice, I saw the picture of the park. It looks nice. These look like actual houses. This is a nice trailer park. These two neighbors, one 75 years old, the other one 80. They've lived next to each other for 20 years. They bicker over your sprinklers getting in my car wet, and they have for 20 years. The 75-year-old and his wife go out to Starbucks. They come home. The husband goes in the house and calls the neighbor. Says, meet me in the street. They meet in the street in front of their houses. The 75-year-old shoots the guy in the chest and then proceeds to unload his gun into the guy. 80-year-old man shot him dead in the street like 6 times. Then he takes the gun, goes to his shed, and blows his brains out. What?
Well, that's just Florida.
Well, it's ridiculous. I'm over it.
Heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
It's real.
It's real.
Anyway, guns scare me.
Was that Martin Lawrence?
Guns scare me in the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That too. Let's see. One of the things that we had started to do on the show was This Week in History.
Yes.
We're not going to do a This Week in History. We're going to do a Today in History because actually...
Some fun stuff happened today.
Fun, I guess. The first one's real fun. I guess you can call it fun. The first one that I have is 1934. This day in history, 1934. Bank robber John Dillinger was shot to death by federal agents outside Chicago Biograph Theater.
That's fun.
That's kind of cool.
That's fun. A shooting in Chicago. Shocking.
Mm-hmm. This day in history, 1957, Walter Fred Morrison applied for a patent for a flying toy, which became known as the Frisbee.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. This day in history, 1991, police in Milwaukee arrested Jeffrey Dahmer, who later confessed to murdering 17 men and boys. Dahmer ended up being beaten to death by a fellow inmate in prison. Here's another one. This day in history, 1995, Susan Smith was convicted by a jury in Union, South Carolina, of first-degree murder by drowning her two kids. She's the one that drove the kids into the lake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then blamed it on a black man.
Right.
Yeah. Guar has a song about that.
That's terrible. Let's see. Mom gave me a couple. I got the Jeffrey Dahmer one. This day in history, 2005, the movie March of the Penguins debuted.
Yes, in Hollywood. In Hollywood.
Remember we went to go see that? The Tampa Theater? Yep. We wore our Black Tails tuxedos and stuff like that. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. This day in history, 1977, Elvis Costello's debut album, My Aim Is True, was released.
So yes.
That's our
I love Elvis.
Day in
Elvis
history.
Elvis Costello.
Yeah. July 22nd. Those dates.
Yes. Those years.
One of the things I like to do at the end of every show is give you some things to think about. And all of these quotes come out of the Week magazine that I love so much. And here we go. The first one says, believe all that is necessary to your happiness.
What?
Believe all that is necessary to your happiness. So believe everything that makes you happy.
Okay.
And that was by Edna St. Vincent Millay. This one says,
what?
It's my handwriting. Imperfect things are the most beautiful things of all.
So your handwriting is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Columnist Heather Harvazleski.
Beautiful.
Terrific.
All right, this one I like. Memory is the way we keep telling ourselves our stories and telling other people a somewhat different version of our stories.
Yes. and they grow
you
bigger
might embellish
and
a
bigger
And that came from
time.
A woman named Alice Munro. And this one says, one starts to get young at 60, then it's too late. That came from Pablo Picasso. So how's that? Let's see. Picasso. We are right down to it. Another show in the can, as they say in Hollywood. Right here in Little Old Seminole.
Which means that I guess we'll play Stump the Chump next week.
Oh, yeah. We just blazed right on through that.
Right. We missed it. Screw
sorry.
It. So, swing and a miss.
Hope you weren't waiting for that.
Right.
No. Let's see. Hannah, do you have anything profound? You want to tell me something I don't know?
No.
Stephanie, you want to tell me something I don't know? Anything that I might not know or...
Honey, you know everything.
Do you want to tell us one more time how to vote for the best radio show in the Bay?
Right.
Best internet radio show
is the Creative Loafing.
Right.
Best of the Bay is CL.
Tampa.
Tampa.
Dot
CL
com.
Like Creative Loafing. CL.
Tampa.
Tampa.com.
Then you go to what category?
You go to... People, Places, and Politics.
Right.
Scroll down to Internet Radio Show and look for Mark O Radio Happy Hour Show.
Okay.
And submit your vote.
Please vote and vote often.
Woohoo.
Well, you can only vote once per email address.
Tell your friends.
Use all your email addresses.
We'd really appreciate it. Ty, do you have anything you want to add? Any news on... contraceptive insurgent or
deceptive intruder.
Oh, deceptive intruder.
Right. No, I'm good right now.
All right. Well, I don't really have anything to add other than we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m.
Live
from the Marco Radio Happy Hour Studios here in little old Seminole, Florida. We love doing this. We have a great time. We look forward to talking to you again next week. If there's nothing else, then Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I Miss You, Mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
Balls to the wall or not at all.
All right. Well, let's head on down to Mexico before Donald builds the wall.
Right.
Good night, everybody. The drinks are hot and the
He wears a red banana, plays a blues piano
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
He wears a purple sash and a black mustache
in a honky tonk down in Mexico.
Well, the first time that I saw him, he was sitting on a piano stool. I said, tell me, Dad, when does the fun begin? He just winked his eye and said, hey, man, be cool. He was a red banana, plays a blues piano.
That's it.